You know, our core of salvation is based upon the fact that Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins. The center of our hope is the knowledge that Jesus came forth from the grave after being nailed to the cross. Victory over death, which can give us victory over death as well. But you know, many people are unable to understand this message about Jesus and about the cross and about our salvation. You know, from our text, we learn that the Jews rejected the message that was given to them about the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. They was looking for something else. They wanted further proof from God. Now, the Greeks thought the whole idea of this resurrection was completely ridiculous. They could not understand that what God was trying to accomplish by sending a son to the cross to die. And you know, we still have people today who will scour the world looking for more signs, more proof, more understanding about God and about His Son and about the cross that He went to. You know, many people will flock around images that they claim will weep. There is supposedly a picture in the museum in Paris that will weep. And people will flock to see that thing. And people will take stock in looking up at the clouds. And if of course, we know that we can look up at the clouds, and if we visualize hard enough, it's going to make a shape that we recognize. And so many people have claimed to have recognized Jesus Himself in the cloud, in the shape of a cloud. And they look at Him, at that cloud, as their Savior. There is a small town in northwest Alabama where many years ago a teenager was critically injured in an automobile accident. They rushed him into surgery at the local hospital. Friends and family and classmates from school, they waited outside the entrance to the surgery room, waiting to hear information about their loved one. One of the teenage friends looked up at the door that leads to the surgery room that was made out of wood and declared that she saw the image of Jesus in the woodwork of that door. And in seconds later, the doctor comes out and says, "The surgery is complete. The young man is going to be okay." And everyone there declared that it was the image that they saw in that wooden door that saved that young man's life. And I don't know if it's still there today, but for many years following, they kept that door. And they put plexiglass over that door so people could come into the hospital and see if they could visualize this image of Jesus that was supposedly cut out of the grain work in that door, declaring that it was a prodigy from God that had saved this young man's life. And then we have those who do right the opposite. We have those who will scoff at any resemblance whatsoever that leads to religion. Many will ridicule the cross and what it represents. So this morning, I would like for us to take a look at this cross. And I would like for us to take a look at the message that the cross is actually trying to give to us in our lives. What this message is, and what it means to you and me. But now, before we do that, I would like for us to discuss what the cross is not. First of all, it's not surprising that so many people misunderstand the message of the cross. And one reason for that is because so many people put emphasis on the object itself, upon the cross itself, and not on the message that it gives to us. We have all seen people wear crosses for good luck charms. We'll see crosses on keychains hanging in their car or in the rearview mirror. The cross will be hanging there, and it's a good luck charm in their minds, thinking that this is going to make a difference in their lives. People will wear a cross around their neck or a bracelet or a piece of jewelry, so everybody can see the cross, making think that the symbol is really all that they need. We'll have people who will adorn buildings with the symbols of the cross, thinking that this building will be blessed because it is there. We can drive along the highway, particularly if you go into Alabama. You will see crosses on the highway, usually to mark an accident that took place and caused someone their life. But the cross is there, and it is a symbol in their mind that God is watching over this family, and God is watching over you if you will view the cross driving down the road. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with wearing a cross as a necklace or putting it on a charm bracelet. Just like there's nothing wrong with man remembering Jesus on December 25th, even though it's not his birthday. If these things, if anything, just simply draw attention to Christ. And in my estimation, that's a good thing. Anytime you can draw attention to Christ, it's a good thing. But these are only objects. They're things. They don't tell the message of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to declare to you this morning, my friend, that the cross that Jesus went to is real. Roman crucifixions was real. It was not a symbol, as we use the cross for today in most cases. Roman crucifixions were designed to humiliate, to punish, and to set an example for everyone around them. We know that the Romans would flog the condemned person before they put them on the cross and literally leave them literally dead. This was prophesied to happen to Jesus in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now, this prophecy was fulfilled according to the writer John in John chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. It says, "So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. And they said, 'Hail, King of the Jews,' and they struck him with their hands. Then they would take the crossbar of the cross, tie it to the prisoner's shoulders, and he was paraded through the streets on his way to be crucified. At the place of the execution, the prisoner's hands or wrist were nailed to the crossbar, and then it was placed on the stake and put into the ground, and the condemned feet was then nailed to the stake. The prisoner, in excruciating pain, eventually died of asphyxiation or from blood loss. The saddest part about this type of death is this. The condemned could remain on the cross alive for days. And because of the slow death, the prisoner could only speak in short bursts at a time with words such as, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. My God, why have you forsaken me?'" Yes, my friends, the cross is real. It's not a symbol that you wear around your neck. The message is real. It's about the one who came and lived and died and rose again. The cross itself, though, is just simply a piece of wood. The real message is what it teaches us. The message of the cross teaches us, number one, sin is a curse. Sin is so terrible that Jesus sent his son to endure this type of death because of sin. The cross tells us that Jesus did not just die. He died a terrible, a painful, a lingering death of immense cruelty because of sin. Sin that people like you and me commit every day of our lives. The message of the cross is that this sin separated us from God, bringing a need for the death of Jesus and bringing forth death to us. It tells us that we were cursed because of the sins that are in our lives. And it tells us that Jesus became a curse because of the sins that are in our lives. The cross of Christ tells us that there needed to be a sacrifice for these sins. You know, God has appointed the shedding of blood as sacrifice for the atonement of sin, going all the way back to Adam and to Cain and Abel. It was practiced under the old law. We read of this in Leviticus chapter 17, beginning with verse 10. And whatever man of the house of Israel or of the strangers who dwell among you who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood and cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the souls. Unfortunately, the sacrifices, the blood sacrifices under the old law, were imperfect. It took the life of perfection. And that life, of course, was the life of Jesus, the perfect sacrifice to take away the sins of the world. The cross tells us that reconciliation was made for your sins and mine. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 18, Paul tells us, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. But you know, even though this atonement was made for the world, many people will not follow it. Many people will not see this salvation that God has offered to us because they'll simply not obey the gospel call. And if we reject this reconciliation that God is offering to us through His Son, then we have rejected the opportunity of having peace with God. And if we reject reconciliation, we reject the fellowship with God that is only found, again, through Jesus Christ, His Son. The message of the cross has come to represent the whole gospel message that is given to us. The message of the cross brings to you and me salvation. Again, going to our text, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The message of the cross demands change. It demands for us to develop a faith in God and in His Son and in the Holy Spirit. Because as the Hebrew writer says, for without faith it is impossible to please Him. The message of the cross is repentance. Jesus said it himself, Luke 13, verse 3, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The message of the cross is acknowledgement of Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. And the message of the cross is baptism. We join Jesus there in His death, in His burial, and in His resurrection. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 3, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus was baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, and that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. This is the message of the cross. This is how you come in contact with the cross. Being with Jesus with the cross. The message of the cross also tells us that we must maintain a life of faithfulness. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. John gives us the promise of Jesus in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. This, my friend, is the message of the cross. It doesn't come in a trinket that hangs around your neck. It doesn't come in a sign that you see on the side of the streets or riding down the road driven into the ground. That is not what Jesus wants you to get from the cross. He wants you to understand this message and what it means to you, what he has done for you, what his Son has done for you. So I ask you this morning, are you wearing the cross? Or are you bearing the cross? Because there is a definite difference in the two. Jesus said, I want you to take your cross and follow me. Are you doing that? This morning, my friends, if you are not a Christian, you need to come to the cross. Because let me tell you, my friends, it is real. It's not a trinket. It's not a road sign. It's not a design on the side of a building. It is real. And the message is real. And the message can save your soul from sin. So today, my friend, if you are not a Christian, you need to come to the cross. I have told you how. The rest is up to you. And dear friends, if you are a child of God, and I want to ask you, how are you viewing the cross? Are you viewing it as just some inanimate object that you see from day to day, from time to time? Or are you actually bearing this cross? Are you living the life that God has asked you to live because of the cross? And if you're not, change your life. Make it right with God. Look carefully at the message. Don't look at the things. Look at the message that it has to tell you. And this morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.